Beloved, if God so loved us, we also must love one another. Yet again, St. John exhorts us to fraternal love, fraternal charity. If God so loved us, we must also love one another. You can be sure that St. John himself learned this precept from our Blessed Mother, who repeated it to him over and over again as they lived under one roof. Our Lady learned it from our Lord, and she, on her part, taught it to St. John, who took her into his own as his own mother. Yesterday we looked at fraternal charity, and we said that we can formulate it in three ways. The precept of our Lord to love one another can be formulated in three concrete ways. Negatively, in a negative sense, we can say, well, don't do to your neighbor what you don't want done to yourself. Positively, we can formulate that by saying, well, do to others what you want them to do to you. And in a perfect way, we can formulate this precept by saying, well, do to others what Christ has done to you. At the very least, do no evil. Don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. If you want to do more, practice virtue. Do good to others. Do to them what you want them to do to you. If you want to be a saint, if you want to be a true Christian, faithful to the name, do to others what Christ did for you. So today, it is important to meditate on this precept. We can't become saints, we can't even get to heaven, period, without practicing true Christian charity towards our neighbors. So today we'll look at the teaching of St. Thérèse, Doctor of the Church, on fraternal charity. On this topic, she is one of the greatest doctors and teachers on the topic of charity. She says in her autobiography, in The Story of a Soul, about charity, writing, "This year, God has given me the grace to understand what charity is. I understood it before, but in an imperfect way. I had never fathomed the meaning of these words of Jesus. The second commandment, our Lord says, is like the first. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I applied myself especially to loving God, and it is in loving him that I understood my love was not to be expressed only in words, for it is not those who say, 'Lord, Lord,' who will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Jesus has revealed this will several times, or I should say almost every page of his gospel. But at the Last Supper, when he knew the hearts of his disciples were burning with a more ardent love for him, who had just given himself to them in the unspeakable mystery of his Eucharist, the sweet Savior wished to give them a new commandment. He said to them with inexpressible tenderness, 'A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.'" You know, we can comment that once we leave this chapel, no one can tell us apart from other men. You can't tell we're Catholics, except for one thing. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And the more love we have, the more evident it is that we are followers of Christ. St. Thérèse goes on, "How did Jesus love his disciples, and why did he love them? It was not their natural qualities which could have attracted him, since there was between him and them an infinite distance. He was knowledge, eternal wisdom, while they were poor, ignorant fishermen, filled with earthly thoughts. And still, Jesus called them his friends, his brothers. He desires to see them reign with him in the kingdom of his Father, and to open that kingdom to them, he wills to die on the cross. For he said, 'Greater love than this no man has, than that he lay down his life for his friends.'" Our Lord certainly did not love us or his apostles because of our natural qualities. Our Lord loved us because of pure mercy, pure goodness of his. Beloved, St. John says, if God so loved us, we also must love one another. So did St. Thérèse practice what she taught? She sure did. For the sake of brevity, we'll look at just a quick example of her. She has many, many examples of charity that she practiced when she applied her own doctrine in her own life. We'll look at a brief one today. Once in choir, the nuns prayed a lot, still do. The Carmelites pray a lot. Once praying in choir, she was put next to a sister who did something that annoyed her greatly. "This is what I noticed," she says. "As soon as this sister arrived, she began making a strange little noise, which resembled the noise one would make when rubbing two shells, one against another." Biographers of hers speculate that this might have been the dentures of this elderly sister that sat next to her. She had this habit of rubbing them together, making this slight little noise, which annoyed greatly Saint Therese. "I was the only one to notice it because I had extremely sensitive hearing, too much so at times. It would be impossible for me to tell you how much this little noise wearied me. I had a great desire to turn my head and stare at the culprit, who was very certainly unaware of her click. This would be the only way of enlightening her." Me too, in similar situations. How many excuses do we have to correct the culprit? She has no right to distract me from prayer. She should know how annoying she is to others, St. Therese could have said to her, but no. "However, in the bottom of my heart, I felt it was much better to suffer this out of love for God and not to cause the sister any pain. I remained calm, therefore, and tried to unite myself to God and to forget the little noise. Everything was useless. I felt the perspiration inundate me, and I was obliged simply to make a prayer of suffering. However, while suffering, I searched for a way of doing it without annoyance and with peace and joy, at least in the interior of my soul. I tried to love the little noise which was so displeasing. Instead of trying not to hear it, which was impossible, I paid close attention so as to hear it well, as though it were a delightful concert, and my prayer was spent in offering this concert to Jesus." How many of our ailments would go away if we just try to love in our neighbors precisely that which annoys us? How many things would just go away and disappear? How many little conflicts would go away if we try to love in our neighbors precisely that which annoys us? Beloved, St. John says, if God so loved us, we also must love one another. We can respond in varying degrees to this invitation of our Lord. In the minimum degree, if we want to save our souls, if we want to become saints, well, we have to make our love perfect. St. John says, and with his words we conclude, if we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is brought to perfection in us. If we love one another, as Christ has loved us, and it was not an easy love, we see that in the crib, we see it in the cross. If we love one another with a sacrificial love, then God remains in us and his love is brought to perfection in us. And this is the only love that will make us saints. Praised be Jesus and Mary.